Today on Aprender Inglés con Resi Craig, you'll learn some more idioms, improve your listening comprehension with Mammon's true life story, and get a dulce de leche recipe and much, much more.
Hello and welcome. My name's Craig.
And my name's Reza.
And together with over 45 years of teaching between Reza and I, we're going to help you improve your English and take it up to the next level. Hello, Reza.
How are things, Craig?
Very good, thank you. Have we got any feedback this week?
We certainly do. We got an email from Francisco Espinola Sanchez. Could you read it out, please, Craig?
Yeah, he sends some wonderful idioms for us. He says, "Hi, friends. I'm glad to have the idioms topic in your podcast. I love it. And I would add a few more of them." And then Francisco has given us a lovely list of idioms that we can look at with you with translations into Spanish. The first one, Reza, the ball is in your court. La pelota está en tu tejado.
Yes.
Tejado is roof, isn't it?
Tejado is roof, yeah. Mm-hmm. In other words, depende de ti. It's you have to act now.
For example, Reza and I give you lots of input and tips and advice and ways of improving your English, and then the ball is in your court. You have to go out and speak in English and practice everything you learn on this podcast. The ball is now in your court.
Hold your horses, Craig.
Why? What's happened?
Hold your horses.
Why?
I have a new idiom.
Ah.
Hold your horses.
What does that mean?
That's an idiom that means no tan deprisa. Wait.
Para el carro.
Para el carro. sin prisas.
Slow down there, boy. Hold your horses.
I imagine that's a very old idiom, which comes from the idea that in the olden days, people used to travel around in a carriage, un carro, or on horseback. So hold your horses, hold them. It means wait, not so fast. Of course, these days, many people don't travel around on horses, but the idiom has remained.
Have you ever ridden a horse?
I have, yeah. I had a beautiful experience on a horse. I went on a guided tour in Cuba, through the Cuban countryside with a guy on horseback. And I was on horseback as well, stopping at different sites, going through a wood. It was lovely.
Sounds nice.
Very nice, yeah.
It's not, horses are not really my cup of tea.
Ah, not your cup of tea.
No.
Ah, well, obviously horses are not a drink. Tea is a drink. When Craig says they're not his cup of tea, no es de su agrado. No es una cosa que le motiva mucho.
Yeah, that's Francisco's next idiom. It's not my cup of tea. I don't really like it very much. Uh-huh. Fias festival is in Valencia. Lots of people like it, but it's not my cup of tea. It's too noisy for me.
Well, I'm no expert horse rider, Craig. But, you know, once in a while, it's nice to be on horseback. But I have a true story, actually, a very quick one. It's more of an anecdote. Mm-hmm. The first ever time I got on a horse, I was about 14 or 15 years old, and the horse tried to kill me.
It tried to throw you off?
Yep, specifically to kill me.
Where was this, in Ireland?
Yep. A good friend of mine at that time had a horse, and she let me ride the horse through country lanes in the countryside, and this horse had a very devious, that means very, very, very naughty, very, very clever, but in an evil way, a very devious sense of humor, and it didn't do anything really bad until we got high up on a hill with a big drop on the other side. And it was at the top of the hill, not before, that the horse tried to throw me off down the hill.
Really?
It waited till it got to the highest point, and it could have killed me because it was a very, very long drop. And it really could have killed me. And so the horse knew exactly what it was doing. And I was really petrified.
Did your trousers turn brown?
They did a bit. They did. So it kind of just was trying to kill me, thinking it was all a bit of a laugh. The horse thought it was funny. I didn't.
I think when you're on a dangerous horse, it's best not to rock the boat.
Ah, aha.
It's best to just do things slowly and gently, to leave things the way they are. Dejar las cosas como están. So if you rock the boat, you make waves, you cause problems, you do things that could cause you problems. So that's the next idiom. Don't rock the boat. Don't complain about things. Just live and let live.
Or make the most of it. Make the most of what you have. In other words, although things are not perfect, you know, they're okay. You'll survive, you know. No, hacer de tripas corazón. Aceptar una situación adversa. Make the most of it.
I've never heard of that expression in Spanish. Hacer de tripas corazón. Make heart out of...
I just read it.
Make heart out of intestines.
I'd never heard it, no.
That's interesting. What about the next idiom, Reza? Push the pedal to the metal.
Yes, I've heard that one, all right. That's to drive very fast or to go very fast. Pisa a fondo. If you think of the accelerator pedal in a car, if it goes right down to the metal of the floor, that means you're accelerating as fast as possible.
So is that, and how could you use that idiom? Is that an idiom that you would only use when you're in the car?
Could
if
be,
you say,
but not.
Go faster, yeah. Push the pedal to the metal. Can you use it outside of the car?
Yeah, you can use it for driving, but I think it can be used for anything, can't it?
Yeah.
It's going to go very fast in any way.
Also, to strike the nail or hit the nail on the head means dar justo en el clavo, acertar. Could you think of an example with that idiom?
Well, hold on a second. I wouldn't say strike. I've never heard that variation, but maybe it's said in some parts. Are you familiar with that?
It might be more American usage, but I would personally say hit the nail on the head. Yeah. For example, if you say something that I totally 100% agree with, I'd say, Reza, you hit the nail right on the head. Has acertado. And finally, there's one more from Francisco. The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. I think we've had that before on a previous podcast. Nunca estamos contentos con lo que tenemos.
Yeah. A fence is like a wooden wall. Yeah. Not a real wall, but wood, probably. Or I suppose it could be made out of, you know, bits of wire. Maybe as well, that divide things. So imagine you're on one side of the fence, the other side looks better.
And I think that could be true. We spoke recently about living in other countries and being an expat and emigrating. It could be true when you live in a country that's not yours for a long time. I think there's a tendency to look at the negative things rather than the positive things and think that the grass is always greener on the other side, meaning there's too many bad things here. It's much better elsewhere. It's much better in a different country, different place. It's not always true.
Well, thank you very much, Francisco. That's a great selection of idioms.
Yes, thanks very much, Francisco. And next we have a voice message, but there's no name, and I'm not sure who sent this, although the voice sounds very familiar. So have a listen, Rezo. I think you might recognize who this is.
Greg and Reza, recently you say that Spanish people don't leave too many voice messages in the SpeakPy space. You're right. Well, here I go. Today I've been listening to your last episode, really useful indeed. All this raving about it makes me want more and more. I'm not quite sure about this still expression, by the way. Frequently, Valencian people use idioms on a daily basis. In fact, I'm one of them. Well, that's a wrap. You always make my day. I'm looking forward to your next episode about immigration. It really looks interesting. Bye, my friends.
Was that Maite, Reza?
Yes, she said her name. She said, hello, I'm Maite. And she said, Valencian people like me.
Yeah.
So we've worked out that must be Maite from Valencia.
So if it is, hello, Maite. If it's not, we're sorry. But please remember, when you send us your voice messages, please remember to tell us who you are. And also there's in SpeakPipe, where you leave the message at speakpipe.com/Ingles podcast, there's a little space for you to write your name. So please let us know who you are, because we'd like to obviously thank you for your message. Any comments on Maite's message?
I'd just like to say thanks very much, Maite. We're glad we make your day.
She used a couple of idioms, didn't she?
Really good idioms, yeah. And correctly, you said, we make your day. And you said that people are raving about the podcast. Raving about it, that means they're very enthusiastic.
And she said at the end, that's a rap. That's not rap, like rap music, R-A-P. That's W-R-A-P. To wrap up means to finish. So that's a wrap means it's finished. That's it. Ya está acabado. And one final thing, I think you said, I've been listening. It's I've been listening. Remember that continuous form with the present perfect continuous. I've been listening.
You know where that is, I think? I think quite often when an infinitive verb ends in a sound like N or in or something with N, with ing, I think people often forget to add the ing because they think, listen, well, it kind of sounds like ing already, but it's not. You have to add the listening.
Listening.
Or to harden, to get hard, hardening, or soften, softening. You've got to add the ing.
Yep. Moving on to one more piece of feedback from Lucy, who I'm guessing is from Argentina. She left a comment on the website, inglespodcast.com. And Reza, we finally got, after 148 episodes, we finally received a recipe for dulce de leche.
Someone's own homemade recipe.
From Lucy.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. She says, this podcast was very funny. Thank you, Lucy. Dulce de leche is very easy to do, so you may ask your mums to make it for you. It takes a lot of time, though. You put 1 liter of milk in a pot with 1 kilogram of sugar and lo cocinas a fuego bajo. How do you say that in English? Lo cocinas a fuego bajo.
Well, if you were to look, Lucy, at episode 142, so go to englishpodcast.com/142, you will find that probably the best word for that is simmer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we mentioned that word.
We did say simmer, yes.
S-I-M-M-E-R, simmer.
Which means to cook on a low heat or low flame. And Lucy continues, and that's all. You should stir up the preparation every other time because it will take about 4 to 6 hours to be ready.
I don't know what she means by every other time. Stir it up.
Maybe continuously?
Continuously.
Or every so often, because you wouldn't continuously stir it for 6 hours. Your arm would fall off. So it's probably every so often from time to time. The milk should be condensed with the sugar. You can add to the preparation or add to the mixture a spoon of baking powder to get a better consistency.
Oh, well, hold on there. Going back to our episode 142 about cooking, it would be a spoonful.
A spoonful. A spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. And color and essence, or she says scent, of vanilla. It's actually vanilla essence, isn't it?
Essence, yeah.
Vanilla essence es esencia de vanilla. So thank you, Lucy, for your recipe of dulce de leche. And as Reza said, you can find lots of vocabulary connected to food and cooking, words like add and mix and stir and spoonful and simmer on episode 142. So inglespodcast.com/142.
And I'm going to try Lucy's recipe out. To try out is probar very soon. And I'll let you know how it goes.
Can I taste it?
Sure.
Thank you.
Of course.
Before we move on to Mammon's wonderful story, I'd like to remind you about our sponsor, iTalki. Now, iTalki is a website where you can find a native speaker to help you improve your English, a qualified teacher who connects to you over Skype and gives you lessons at your convenience and at a time and budget. Budget is presupuesto, the money you can spend, that is convenient for you. So if you're interested in finding out more information about the teachers on iTalki and how you can improve all aspects of your English, go to inglespodcast.com/italki. And they are offering, iTalki are offering 100 free credits to listeners of Aprender Inglés con Resi Craig. So if you go there, sign up, put some, buy some credits, and you will get 100 credits free. Reza and I would like to say thank you to iTalki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig.
So, shall we listen to Mamin's story?
Yes, Mamin sent us a voice message. Mamin from Biescas, who, if you're a new listener and you don't know who Mamin is, she's a regular contributor to the show, often sends us voice messages with ideas and questions and tips. She's someone who's really improved her English because of her dedication, her motivation, and her consistency of studying English. Now, this is a true story, a life story that happened to Mamin, and it was inspired by episode 137 of Aprender Inglés con Resi Craig, in which we spoke about how to tell a story in English. So if Mamin's story inspires you and motivates you to do something similar and tell us a story, that something that happened to you that's true, before you do it, go back to inglespodcast.com/137, listen to that episode in which we explain how to tell an effective story in English. Before we listen though, Reza, let's look at some of the vocabulary that Mamin speaks about, because Mamin obviously researched a lot of vocabulary before she told her story, and some of it may be new to the listeners.
Yes, she used a very good range, a good variety of vocabulary, which of course is essential to tell an interesting story. For example, she talked about her siblings.
Siblings.
That means brothers and sisters. So sibling can be a boy or a girl. For example, how many siblings have you got? I've got two brothers and a sister, for example.
I've only got one sibling, my sister.
She also mentioned the word lawn. That's L-A-W-N, lawn. That is an area of grass, grass.
So what's the difference between lawn and grass? Is there a difference?
Well, it's an area of grass which is looked after. Mm-hmm. It's cut and maintained, and it could be part of someone's garden, for example. It's not a wild area of grass. Craig, she also used the expression fed up. How would you define fed up?
The phrasal verb fed up, to be fed up, is harto or harta. It's a lovely expression from Argentina. They say hinchado las bolas or hinchado las pelotas. I was fed up with my noisy neighbors. We were trying to record a podcast and the neighbors were being really noisy. And I really got fed up with the children playing next door. Mamin also speaks in her story about barbed wire, B-A-R-B-E-D. Reza, what's barbed wire? Wire is like a cable, isn't it? A cord.
Yeah. Anything that's shaped like a cable, you could call wire. But barbed wire is very specific. It's alambre de púas, you know, de espinos, that type of wire that can cut you. It's used as a security measure to stop people getting into or indeed getting out of an area.
Mm-hmm. To keep people in or keep people out of places.
You'll notice that Mamin uses that word, although she slightly mispronounces it. Sorry, Mamin, but just to correct you now, it's pronounced barbed. It's one syllable and you pronounce the E, but you shouldn't, because ED, usually in the majority of cases, the E is silent, barbed wire.
Mamin also used an expression that we've spoken about before when we spoke about health, to cure, C-U-R-E. Of course, you can cure ham, can't you? When you hang up ham how would you explain cured ham?
To dry it slowly, drying it in at high altitude somehow kills any harmful bacteria in it.
Yeah, when you go to the Alpujarras, when the mountains, you go into bars and shops and you see the hams curing above the bar.
Las Alpujarras or Teruel or lots of places. Yeah. And I can't forget my old friends in Extremadura, particularly in Badajoz.
You got a lot of positive feedback about your accent.
Oh, thank you. Because If money's no object, that means if there's no limit on the budget, el presupuesto, as Craig said earlier, I will have jamón ibérico de bellota, de pata negra, de balajo.
Wow.
That would be my choice.
The best of the best.
Oh, that is the crème de la crème.
You lucky man. So one use of cure is with obviously ham to dry food, but also cure means curar tratamiento médico. So I'll cure you is used in Mamen's story, which means I will make you better. I will treat you and make you better. I'll cure you.
Craig, to nod. To nod is a word which is quite tricky to translate. How might we translate that?
You could say inclinación de cabeza, asentir con la cabeza. It means to move your head up and down in usually in agreement, isn't it? If you're nodding, you're agreeing. And if you shake your head, you're disagreeing. So I nodded, it's a verb, to nod. I nodded means I agreed or I said yes.
By using your head?
Using your head, only your head, yeah. Using only your head, moving it up and down. Hacer daño a tu mismo, Mamen says in English, to hurt yourself. There's a reflexive pronoun, to hurt yourself.
Mamen, I certainly understand what you're talking about when you say to hurt yourself.
You hurt yourself this week, didn't you?
Yeah, yesterday I cut a little bit off the end of my thumb. A friend of mine gave
me
a new
thumb? What's thumb in Spanish?
Thumb is dedo pulgar, the big finger, if you like. We call it the thumb. So I cut the end of my thumb, dedo pulgar, the big one, with a new knife that a friend gave me as a present. And they said, oh, you like this knife? It's very sharp. It certainly is very sharp, I discovered.
What were you cutting at when you cut your finger?
Well, I was cutting onion, which of course stings. So the onion got immediately into the cut and it stung. Wow. But I'm glad it was onion in a way, because onion is known to be antiseptic. So maybe that was the best thing that I could have been cutting.
So Reza hurt himself last week. So when you cut your finger, Reza, did you clean your wound?
Exactly. I cleaned my wound, which you'll hear.
What's a wound?
The wound is the herida, anything that's happened to you because of an accident.
So the spelling is W-O-U-N-D, wound. And Mamen says, clean your wounds.
And just like in Mamen's story, right now I have a bandage on my thumb while I'm doing this podcast. But luckily you don't need your hands to do a podcast. A
bandage is vendaje. Did you cry when you cut your finger, or did you cry because of the onions?
I cried because of the onions, actually. I cried. I wept. Which is a word, a nice word, which is a little bit of variety. It means the same as cry. To weep is to cry. And Mamen said, past simple, she wept.
And you think your wound will leave a scar?
It might leave a tiny scar, possibly, but nothing to really worry about. Scar is cicatriz. It can also be a verb, to scar, cicatrizar. I don't think it's going to scar. I don't think there will be a scar. Or if there is, it will be tiny.
And one final word that Mamen uses in her story is an English word for cariño, which is honey. Now, honey you may know as miel, the food, but you can also use it as a term of endearment, like sweetheart or dear or sweetie or love. So honey is a word that also is used in her story. So just to go back on those words again, words that Mamen uses in her story: siblings, lawn, fed up, barbed wire, to cure, I'll cure you, nod, I nodded, to hurt yourself, to clean your wounds, bandage, to weep, honey, and scar. Now, before we listen, we've got three questions that we'd like you to answer as you're listening. So Reza, what are the three questions that the listeners should find the answers to while they're listening to Mamen's story?
The first question is, why was Mamen's dad fed up? The second question, how did Mamen hurt herself? And the third question, what does Mamen's sister do for a living?
So if you want to see those questions, go to inglespodcast.com/148 and you'll be able to read those questions as you're listening. And then we'd like you to answer them at the end. So here's Mamen's story.
This story is called A Bit of My Life. When I was a child, we were 7 siblings. We lived all together with my parents in a house with a garden around it. In the garden, there were 2 pieces of lawn, and the rest of it was ground and something like a patch. At one part of the ground, my father used to plant flowers. Although he wasn't a gardener, he loved to plant his own vegetables, flowers, and so. He always warned us not to step on his growing plants. As you can imagine, we completely ignored him year by year. Finally, one year, my father was so fed up that he decided to put around his growing plants a kind of a barbed wire. Not a good idea. Well, one day, my sister and I came from the school at midday and we decided to play in the garden until lunchtime, as we usually do. We usually play to run one behind the other to catch us. We both love to run. We spent hours running. Anyway, it was my turn. I had to run to catch my sister. I started to run and then I realized that I could go faster and catch her if I crossed through the growing plants, jumping just a bit. It was just when I started to jump when I remembered the wire. But it was too late. I didn't jump enough. So I fell down and thought, oh my God, my dad, the plants, the wire. I was so scared. I woke up and at the first moment, I didn't feel anything. I thought, well, I'm a big girl now. I'm really strong, so everything's gonna be okay. But it wasn't. Suddenly, I noticed something hot in my knee. I looked at my leg and there were a lot of blood. I began to cry and called my sister. She came to me really fast. She stopped in front of me, put her hand in my mouth and said, "Calm down, Mamen. Don't shout. Dad is inside and he doesn't have to find out. Please, please. Be quiet. Let me help you. Come with me to the bathroom and I'll cure you and nobody will know anything, okay? But you have to promise me one thing. You are not going to tell anybody, okay?" I nodded and we went to the bathroom together. But there we realized that I hurt myself not too badly, but there were 2 holes in my knee. She cleaned my wounds and put me a bandage. We went to have lunch as if nothing happened. When we came to the dining room, my mother turned to me, looked at my leg, stared at me over his glasses and asked, "What happened, Mamen?" I tried not to say anything, but I started to weep saying, "If I had jumped higher, I wouldn't have hurt myself. Sorry, Mom." My mother looked at my knee and said, "It's nothing, honey. Don't worry. That is not going to punish you too. Calm down. In fact, I've told your father that it's too dangerous to have a wire in the garden." My mother was right, as most of the times, and my father didn't punish us. Actually, he take out the wire and everything was okay. Nowadays, my sister is a very professional nurse and I have 2 scars in my knee. They look more than a snake bite than a wire injury. So I usually make up a more amazing story to tell.
What a wonderful story, Reza. Wasn't that interesting?
Interesting.
And true.
True. And funny and a bit sad at the same time. A nice mixture of emotions.
And I really liked the use of vocabulary, Mamin's pronunciation, the way it was structured and organized, the way she connected the ideas together. It was very, very well written, well organized, and well told. So well done, Mamin. So did you answer the questions that we asked you at the beginning of the story? Why was Mamin's dad fed up? Reza, do you remember?
No. was it because she kept walking on his plants?
Yeah, he had those plants in the middle of the garden, I think, or outside the house. And because her and her sister were running around, they kept destroying the plants, destroying the flowers and the vegetables that he had planted in the garden. So he got really, really fed up. Number two, how did Mamin hurt herself?
What she tripped think? Over a wire that he had put over the top of the plants to protect them.
What kind of wire was it?
I'm not sure. I can't remember.
Barbed wire.
Barbed wire, of course.
Yeah. She fell over and hurt herself on the barbed wire. And right at the end of the story, Mamin says what her sister does for a living. So what's Mamin's sister's job?
Well, very appropriately, for when you hurt yourself, she's a nurse. A nurse.
Yeah.
Enfermera.
So, wonderful story. Thanks for sending that in, Mamin. Did you hear anything that could possibly help Mamin to improve in the future?
Well, it was extremely good. Extremely good. As I mentioned before, we heard the story, the word barbed, be careful about not pronouncing the E. Also, a classic Spanish mispronunciation, parents. The first A is pronounced parents, not pa, parents. Apart from that, the pronunciation was extremely good. But I did notice a few grammar and vocabulary errors. Did you notice anything?
Yeah, there were one or two things. I think Mamin said there were a lot of blood. It should have been there was a lot of blood. Blood is uncountable. It's a liquid. So like most liquids, water, beer, wine, etc., coffee, it's uncountable. So there was a lot of blood. Anything else?
Yes, I think you said year by year, but you should have said year after year. And also you said played to run. No, you play something. So if it's an activity, ing. I played chess, I played sport, I played running.
Mm-hmm.
Running, not to run.
And you said I woke up, but I think you might have meant I got up. I got up when I got up because you'd fallen down. So then you got up. And one other thing, Mamin, I think you said put her hand in my mouth. I mean, that's possible. Maybe your sister put her hand in your mouth. That's possible. But probably she put her hand over your mouth so that you couldn't cry, you couldn't scream, you couldn't weep, you couldn't make a noise so that your father would hear you. So your sister put her hand over your mouth.
Also, I can't remember where in the story exactly, but you said at the first moment. No, we wouldn't say that. We would just say at first. At first. And also a phrasal verb, which is a bit tricky. You said put me a bandage. No. Your sister put a bandage on me. You should have said, put a bandage on me.
As you put a bandage on your thumb earlier. one thing I really liked was Mamin's use of the third conditional. She said, if I had jumped higher, I wouldn't have hurt myself.
That was impressive.
Lovely use of a hypothetical event in the past, changing the past. Changing what happened to something hypothetical. If I had jumped higher, or if I'd jumped higher, with a contraction, if I'd jumped higher, I wouldn't have hurt myself. Very nice.
It's a great story.
Yep, thanks so much, Mamin. That was a lot of fun listening to. And if you have stories of your own and you'd like to follow Mamin's example and send them to us, we would love to hear them and we would be delighted to give you some feedback. So send us a story. You could write it and read it as Mamin did and send it to us by email to me, Craig, at inglespodcast.com.
Or to me, Reza, that's belfastreza@gmail.com.
Remember, you can also send us your voice messages by SpeakPipe at speakpipe.com/inglespodcast. But remember, you only have 90 seconds on that voice messaging service. So if your story is longer than 90 seconds, which it probably will be, best to send it as an email attachment. And finally, if you'd like more detailed show notes, you could join our list of wonderful sponsors on Patreon, which is at patreon.com/inglespodcast. And Reza, who are our lovely sponsors?
Thank you to Lara, Carlos, Sara, Mamin, Juan, Sara, Corey Finnery from IVNV Podcast, Manuel Garcia with Petacon, Jorge, Raul, Rafael, Manuel Tarazona, Mariel, Maite, Lorena, Pedro, and Ana.
Thank you so much. And also thank you, Arminda, who continues to transcribe. And there are now 5 full transcriptions on the website in the show notes, and they are for episodes 131, 134, 135, 136, and 138. Thank you, Arminda, for your time and your efforts for providing those transcriptions for the listeners. Reza, what's next week?
On next week's episode, the Mexican Wall and Eugenie's pronunciation.
Oh, we look forward to next week's podcast. Until then, it's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.